Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Hey, yo, what's up, everybody? It's me, Joe Pizzapia, and this is the RotoWire DFS podcast sponsored by FanDuel. I am your host, as always, every Friday. We are here to make dreams come true and shatter pay lines. That's what we do. We're just, we drink and we know things, and I can't think of a better person who knows more and it drinks as much. No, drinks as much is not a good. No, I'm just kidding. I mean,
it's Michigan weekend up here. I'm going to Lambeau on Sunday. Like, you can say it. I'm going to be letting it rip this weekend.
All right. Well, this weekend, perhaps John McKechnie will be that guy. Johnny McKechs, how are you, buddy?
I'm great. Like I said, I'm pumped. There's a lot of good stuff coming up here this weekend. I'm really, really pumped to make the Lambeau pilgrimage, even if I have to catch a bus out of Madison at 6 a.m. on Sunday. We'll see how that goes. But, otherwise, yeah, very, very excited right now.
Hey, anytime you get a chance to partake in one of the great NFL experiences like Lambeau Field, you do it. Mm-hmm. And you enjoy life, even if it is Brett Hundley playing. I mean, you know, that's and speaking of which, there's lots of these rumors floating around. Aaron Rodgers getting closer and closer. We might have a couple weeks of Aaron Rodgers back on the daily slate before you know it, John.
That's awesome, yeah, because yeah, it seemed like he's been really making solid progress, and I think he's seen how kind of sideways things have gone in his absence. So I'm sure that's gotten him to you know, work his way back a little bit quicker. I don't know if you can really like rush a collarbone injury, but it seems like he's definitely on like the earlier side of that initial timetable. So that's definitely a good sign.
All right, let's start with week 11. Here we go. It was another good week for us last week. We are continuing to do well. I mean, we've missed some things, but I think overall we're hitting on a lot more than we miss, because mm-hmm. that's the nature of the business. As long as you hit more than you miss in daily, things are good. Let's start with the quarterbacks. Carson Wentz is back involved. He's at Dallas. He's 8,700. Tom Brady is in Mexico. Ay, Dios mío, Tom Brady is in Mexico. And Oakland is going, no one's at anywhere. I mean, it's a neutral site here. Fascinating bit of information, though, that Tom Brady and company, Bill Belichick, has kept them in Denver over the last week to deal with the altitude issue. Do you think that is going to have a positive effect on Brady and the Pats, and a negative effect potentially on Derek Carr and everybody coming into this one?
I'm not totally sure what to make of it, because that like pro football doctor guy that used to work for the Chargers, he's on Twitter and he's moderately useful to follow. He said that there's not a huge difference between staying up there and getting acclimated in terms of your actual performance or anything. So it seems like a good idea in theory. I'm not sure if it's going to make a huge impact in practice, but when it comes to a guy like Tom Brady, you know, a guy that put up over 20 points fantasy-wise against Denver last week, I expect him to be in line for another huge game this week. I definitely like him a little bit more than Wentz being on the road at Dallas.
And you've got, speaking of Dallas, Prescott at 85, Kirk Cousins 82, and Drew Brees at 81. So I'm going to pick these guys apart. Let's go through them, and let's take them one at a time. Now, Carson Wentz has thrown more touchdown passes than anybody so far. Sean Lee is out in this game at Dallas, so that's certainly a good opportunity. Look, I mean, Carson Wentz has been brilliant. He is expensive, though. 8,700 is expensive. Brady's $100 less. Let's go to Prescott and Wentz, because it's funny. You've got, you know, four of the top five quarterbacks playing each other, which is an odd thing. That's not something that happens. So would you rather be on the Wentz strain for 87 or the Dak Prescott, who, I mean, spent more time on his back last week and than most, but up until, you know, recently, he has been a wonderful fantasy quarterback. Two of the last three games, though, not so much. What's your hot take here, Dak versus Wentz?
Yeah, last weekend, I really thought it was terrifying for him. And if you're a Dak Prescott guy or owner, having Tyron Smith out obviously is just a massive, massive issue. And I don't think just 1 week of that getting exposed, you know, and 1 week of practice afterward to address it is going to be enough. So I think Philly has a more talented group of pass rushers than what Atlanta has to offer. So, you know, it's not going to be Adrian Claiborne. It's going to be a Brandon Graham or a Chris Long getting after Prescott on the blind side. And I think that's a huge, huge issue. And like you mentioned, Sean Lee being out for Dallas kind of means that Philly's probably going to be able to score a little bit more. So I expect Dallas to be playing from behind a little bit, even though they're on or they're at home. And I expect that pressure to be a little bit too much. So at 8,500, even though the price on its face is good for Dak, I'm worried about the team context right there with Smith being out.
Now, the last 5 weeks, Drew Brees has only cracked 20 points one time. Clearly, this team has changed its defense. It's running the football. So the Drew Brees, you know, 350-yard game seemed to be a thing of the past. You got Kirk Cousins, who has nothing to do but throw the ball. And the opposite end, but the matchup is very tough. The matchup is a tough one against the Saints defense. I know the yardage totals have been good for Kirk Cousins. I know he still turns the ball over, but do you make a case for either of these two guys, or is it a matter of, hey, cash games, go Wentz or Brady and don't get cute?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it's very rare that you see a game between two good teams at the Superdome and you're like, oh, I'm not sure I like either quarterback in this one, but that's sort of where we are at this point, because I really try to avoid using quarterbacks against the Saints secondary for the most part, especially when it's a guy like Kirk Cousins that's been, like you mentioned, a little bit turnover prone. And, you know, on the flip side of that, Breeze, it seems like that offense is just different right now. And with Josh Norman being back for Washington, I think that changes things a little bit. So like you were saying, I stick to the top two guys on the board as far as cash games go.
All right, let's go down a little bit further for tournaments. You got Stafford at Chicago. I don't love that in particular. Nope. Chicago's kind of chippy. You've got Jared Goff, who's had two great weeks, but he's a huge trap because those 2 weeks came against the Giants and the Houston Texans, the 24th and 31st ranked defenses respectively. And then if you go look at some of the better defenses like Jacksonville, like Seattle, he failed to put up 10 points against them. He was at 9 on both of those. So I think Goff is a guy that's very matchup dependent. I'm going to go past him. I'm going to go to the guy who's probably getting the most love this week. It's Alex Smith against the Giants at 7,900. The ownership on him is going to be through the roof. And I don't see a problem with this at all.
No. Yeah, I think that, you know, Smith is extremely safe. And the Giants just, God, they're so, so bad defensively that, you know, they're giving up 31 points to C.J. Beathard and, you know, just sort of a ragtag group of receivers. No Pierre Garçon, and you're still giving that up. That's embarrassing. So, you know, I don't think being at home changes anything. The Rams put up 51 on them in the Meadowlands. I think the Chiefs can similarly just kind of take them to the woodshed Sunday. So at 7,900, I really think that's about as good of a combination of price and upside as we see on the board this week.
All right. Now, if you continue going the opposite, we're talking about this is really the theme of the quarterbacks this week is flip side. So the flip side of this one is Eli Manning. Now, I know people say Eli Manning, ew, gross.
Okay to say that.
Ew, and like Eli, it's disgusting. But if he's playing from behind, if he's in a spot where we know typically that's kind of where the Giants are right now, he's 6,500. Do you have enough love for him in a tournament situation, or is it just not enough ceiling considering where they play? Because, I mean, Ingram and Shepard have been good. I know last week was kind of frustrating there, you know, to lose against the 49ers. I still don't know how Ben McAdoo is allowed back on the plane.
Amazing.
But Eli Manning on this end, I mean, it is at home. Do you make a case for him at 65?
You know, I could see it, and I think that the Chiefs probably get a little bit too much respect defensively for how good they've actually been. I mean, aside from Peters and Justin Houston, that defense as a whole has kind of struggled a little bit this year. And like you said, the game flow sets up pretty well for Eli, where at 6,500, he's going to be throwing it upwards of 35 times or so. So I think it makes sense. And I think Shepard and Ingram bounce back a little bit more this week. Again, like you said last week, a bit frustrating. And, you know, if you're looking at more tournament type quarterbacks, it's hard to find much beyond like that 7,900 Alex Smith. Initially, I thought the Bortles was kind of interesting because the Jaguars are going against the Browns, and the Browns are actually kind of good against the run. So I figured this might be a game where Bortles, you know, gets to throw it upwards of 30 times.
Safe for two times value against the Browns.
I'm a little bit worried about the weather factor up there. I think that that might change things. So as of right now, I'm probably off Bortles, but I think if the weather holds and it's not really snowy up in Cleveland, then I'd be back on him at 75.
Yeah, I think I would be back on as well. Also, no Tyrod Taylor at 76 this week. Instead, you've got Nathan Peterman. Elaine.
It's Nathan Peterman. You look at him at his film at Pittsburgh. He's a fourth round quarterback.
Jerry, it's me, Peterman. And I just wanted to talk to all of you about the fact that I'm the starting quarterback. I love that guy. He was pretty good. He still floats around. You see him on commercials. I think he was on Dancing with the Stars. You know, that guy, you know, I forget his name, but I'm just calling him Peterman for lack of a better, you know, thing. But he's had a pretty good career off of being a secondary player on a sitcom. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
What is his name? Do you remember his name?
I don't, but I do know who you're talking. I feel like he shows up on like some of those
insurance
commercials or something.
I think you should try this.
Yes, he is the king of foot odor guy.
Oh, he's definitely like a foot odor commercial kind of guy. And it's funny because I definitely know his name. I don't know why. Peterman, Seinfeld, and I'm just trying to. John O'Hurley, that's it. John O'Hurley. I'm John O'Hurley, and I played one character in my entire life.
I just talk like this and made a career out of it.
You sound like you're kind of like a hitman when he's. What are you doing? You're a little too Brooklyn, I think.
Yeah, that's always my issue, man. I'm just always too Brooklyn.
John McKechnie, hashtag too much Brooklyn. There you go. There's the hashtag of the show today.
Beautiful.
All right, so that'll do with quarterbacks. Let's get over to the running back scenarios. You got Leonard Fournette dealing with an ankle. He's 9,300. You know, we talked about the Browns being pretty good against the run. With the ankle, with the salary, I can't do Leonard Fournette. I love Leonard Fournette. We did get the picture with Leonard Fournette with lasers. Thank you, Dennis Roy.
Yes, that was awesome.
I wanted a picture of him, a school picture with lasers in the background. Christmas came early. I got it.
Major shout out.
Yeah, Todd Gurley underneath him at 87. But I think Kareem Hunt's the guy that I'm on the most. You got Elliott out as well, this top running back group. But I'm on Kareem Hunt because the Giants can't stop anybody. I think that Andy Reid teams off a bye historically are very well prepared, very good. I think he's a very safe cash game play. It's funny, though. You have to go all the way back to the game against Washington October 2nd. That's the last time he's topped 14 points. He's been 13 consistently. Now, look, consistency is great. He's been only 8 points the last two times out, and he hasn't exactly faced the greatest defenses here. I mean, right. Oakland, Dallas. So it's a little troubling in the sense of Kareem Hunt started off a house of fire. But I think that because of that, I think there's opportunity this week with Hunt to get back into that big game groove against the Giants off the bye.
Yeah, I think, you know, pretty much the way this year has gone, and we talked about it a little bit last week, you got to nail your upper tier running backs because, you know, more often than not, your upper tier receivers have disappointed for most of this year. Obviously, like last night, if you started out with the Thursday slate and you stuck it out and went with Antonio Brown, you're way ahead right now. But for the most part, it hasn't really been that case. So you want to go with one expensive running back at least. And this week, like you said, the ankle injury plus the matchup, oddly enough, against Cleveland, that's enough to you know, kind of scare you off of Fournette. Gurley, I do like. I think Hunt does make the most sense, you know, based on the matchup. I know the frustration factor. Maybe he's burned enough people enough times over the last few weeks to where it scares some people off, even with that really tasty matchup. But I think Hunt makes too much sense at 8,600 to pass that up. You have to go an expensive running back. I think he's the one.
Now, we talked about Mark Ingram and Kamara last week. We said both would be good. I don't think either of us thought they'd be as good as they were.
Yeah, holy smokes.
And it's funny. I said I think I like Ingram more in this game because it's in Buffalo. I think I could see that. So Ingram was the right call between the two. Not that Kamara was wrong, but Ingram was just better. And I think you can make the case now that you could put not just season-long lineups with both these guys, but even daily lineups with both of them. And they're still hovering in that $7,500 for Kamara, $82 for Ingram, where I think it's still viable.
Yeah, you can totally swing that. And you know, both those guys are on the field enough where you're just not worried at this point about Kamara, like, only seeing 15 snaps or something like that. Like, he has a legitimate role in this offense. And when he's out there, he's doing stuff. So Ingram, obviously a little bit more safe, but I think both of those guys, especially with how frustrating running back has been to an extent this year, you could definitely stack those guys. And I think that's an interesting way of building a tournament lineup.
Now, going back to Peterman, because I can make this voice only for one podcast in case he gets replaced. LeSean McCoy, a very intriguing option this week against the Chargers, the worst run defense in the league, a rookie quarterback with his first start on the road. I would be absolutely shocked, John, if LeSean McCoy didn't get a huge amount of volume in this game, especially if they got their ass handed to him at home last week. For 8K, I think LeSean McCoy is probably the best value of any upper-tier running back this week.
It seems to be trending in that direction. I'm one of those guys that's been burned enough by McCoy the last few weeks where I'm probably staying away from him, but I think you bring up some good points there.
You're a scorned lover. That's what you are.
I truly am.
And rightfully so. The last 2 weeks have been bad. Man. Well, the last 2 weeks have been bad. 2.5, 7.5, but in all fairness, too, they've gotten their ass handed to him. So, you know, if the game script's not going his way, that's not where they're going to go. But, I mean, with the rookie quarterback out there, you got to rely a little. I mean, let's go back to, like, that first Huntley game, right? Aaron Jones lighting things up, right? Mm-hmm. First Trubisky game, you got a lot of Jordan Howard. I just feel like that's kind of be the same thing here. And, you know, I think sometimes you get that gross overreaction the other way after a couple of bad games and a couple of losses where you go, hey, we got to get the ball back in LeSean McCoy's hands.
Yeah, and I think you also have to consider the opponent here in that the Chargers – pass rush-wise, have maybe the scariest duo of guys coming off the edge, like, in the entire league with Bosa and Ingram. And so with a rookie quarterback going out there and a shaky offensive line, they'd be so – I mean, it's already dumb to bench Tyrod Taylor, but it'd be really, really dumb to have Peterman dropping back early and often in that one instead of trying to keep that pass rush honest by running the ball a fair bit. So it should, at least early on, payoff for McCoy. I expect him to get a lot of work at least early on.
All right. Now, the other thing we got to talk about here too is I was absolutely wrong with Jerick McKinnon. He was in every lineup, and look, I feel your pain. I was right there with you. I walk the walk. I don't just talk the talk. McKinnon sucked last week. I mean, it was another Latavius Murray game. The only two times he hasn't gotten 20 points has been when Latavius Murray's gone off. Now, this week is against the Rams. Honestly, with the whole Keenum situation up in the air, which is a shame, because Keenum's been very good, and now they're setting him up for failure with a good Rams defense coming into town. I'm going to stay away from the Vikings altogether this week. I know last week we were on Thielen quite a bit too. That did work. Oh, yeah. Golden Tate did work. We were right about a lot of those things, but McKinnon, unfortunately, was a bust. Let's go down to some of the cheaper running backs. Let's talk about Orleans Darkwa. Not thrilling, but 5,900 as a lineup builder. I think he can get double-digit points. But the one I really want to highlight is Kenyon Drake. Now, there's been a lot of discussion back and forth. I know how terrible Miami is. We all know how terrible they are. However, if you're looking at the yards per carry here in the last two games for him, it's redonkulous, dude. He's also catching the ball in the backfield. He's got 13.4, 16.2 last two games, and these were in awful spots. And one of them, you know, like, he's got a touchdown in his last two games as well. The fumble was cause for concern against Oakland, but I'm not going to get, you know, too rough on him. At 5,600, I mean, to me, there's your lineup builder of the week, no?
I do like him a fair bit. Kenyon Drake's just really – if you watched him at Alabama, you know, going alongside of Derrick Henry, like, obviously he's the less impressive of those two backs. But whenever he was given the chance, that guy just, like, is a smart, smart, disciplined football player. He can find the gaps, and that sort of, you know, helped set up the long touchdown last week against Carolina. So I do like Drake a fair bit at 5,600. I like Alex Collins a little bit too. I think that a potential Woodhead return knocks down a Buck Allen, but it doesn't knock down and Alex Collins. So 5,500, I think he's okay. Drake probably a little bit more upside. I think it's important to warn the people also on Samaje Perine personally. What do you think?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm warning you. Yeah, don't do it.
just don't.
Just don't do it. Well, I think there's a lot of guys like that, even Mixon, very touchdown dependent. You know, there's a lot of stuff right now where there's
not buying the Crow. The Crow, you know, last week he sort of resurfaced as a like I've almost had forgotten about him completely, and then he has a decent game going against Jacksonville now. The season-long numbers don't look good for the run for Jacksonville, but I think they've been a lot better recently, so I'm not falling for Crowell either.
See, that's why I like Drake, because Drake, to me, has that breakaway speed potential. Yes. You know, and I think if you're looking for a running back that cheap, you're looking for high ceiling. You're not looking for floor. You're looking for, hey, worst case scenario is, you know, a 10-point game, he returns value okay, and it doesn't crush me, and it allows me to go pay up for some big boys. But true. I think best case scenario, the guy like Drake, is he can go 3x value easily. You know, he could have a huge game potentially. Let's go to the New England Patriots for a moment, too. How about that Rex Burkhead?
There we go.
Who knows Patriot running backs like me? Woo!
It actually blows my mind.
It's kind of frightening. I am the Dion Lewis whisperer. I am the Burkhead of state. I am all of these things and more.
In the James White House.
I actually got some tweets on the Burkhead thing on that Sunday night game. People were like, wow, dude. It's like, I played Burkhead. One guy was like, I played Burkhead just because you guys talked about him. Actually, two. One was Dennis, and I got another tweet. Was like, I put Burkhead in as like a flyer and playing Sunday, Monday. I can't believe it.
Boom. Yeah. I wanted to tweet you too. I couldn't find anything witty enough to come up with because I don't know. I guess it must have been just out of brain power at that point on Sunday. But
well, there's a lot of pressure on me now because, you know, because now it's been, I don't know, it's been a month now. So, and here we go. We are back to, it's in Oak, not in Oakland. We are, we're facing Oakland in Mexico. So, Mexico City, Mexico. I'm going to say this. Dion Lewis also good in that game too. I don't want to like lose that bit of the situation there. To me, I think this is a little bit more Dion Lewis today. I'm going to say Dion Lewis this week, Sunday afternoon, more Dion Lewis. Still enough Burkhead. I think with either of these guys too, I mean, the Patriots don't have a traditional running game. It's not their style. And with Amendola's injuries and Hogan's injuries, you know, Burkhead is really working himself into that other role. So it's funny. Everybody at the beginning of the year was talking about, well, how are they going to make this all work with all these backs? And John, they have. I mean, they've figured out a way, as always, they tailor the system to the personnel instead of the personnel to the system sometimes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can,
what a concept.
You can explain it better than I can as far as these Patriots go. I'm definitely like, whenever you give the Dion Lewis endorsement, he's always someone that I consider for at least one of my lineups. So, definitely listening, definitely in on him then, as a result this week. I did want to get your thoughts before we move on to receiver. Because of that Sean Lee injury for Dallas, which Philly running – do you think Philly's running backs are a trap this week?
Oh, you know what? We didn't talk about Ajayi, and we should, because there's a large amount of talk about, you know, expanding his role already and they're coming off the bye, which I would imagine – at 69, I think he's right – he's fine. Mm-hmm. Like that's actually a really good price with Lee
out.
It's
a nice price.
If Lee was in, I'd like it less. But with Lee out, I think this is a really good situation for Ajayi. I think he does. It's funny. I would imagine something like 15 carries for 80 yards, which is basically the line he had last week with half the amount of touches. And you say, well, why? Well, it's because, you know, Denver is kind of in a tailspin right now. And I think along with that touchdown, like you're looking for a similar kind of day. I think he's a fine play. I don't know if he's going to warrant the ownership he's going to get. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. That's a good way of putting it.
I think that's the problem. I think he's going to be a trendy pick, not necessarily the most productive one. I'll take McCoy over Ajayi. In fact, maybe we'll have to come to that a little bit later here because I feel like that might be a interesting bonus question now that we're talking about it. Let's go over to the wide receivers. We mentioned last week, we crushed the Adam Thielen pick. So good. Loving the Thielen. I'm hooked on a Thielen, and I can't stop the Thielen. 26.6. I mean, the guy's a wide receiver one, guys. I mean, can we please get on board with this? And I'll tell you what. I know it's a tough matchup here for everybody. I think he's still in play this week at 77. It's not awful. If you just want to keep rolling with Thielen, I get it. But Hopkins at 77 is the one I want to talk about because I'm not – you know, I understand that Patrick Peterson is great. I get that. But – here we go. Let's run through it. I know we do this sometimes on the show. 12, 12, 4, 11, 16, 14. That's the weekly target volume of DeAndre Hopkins over the last 6 weeks. You give me double-digit targets, I'm going to show you productivity. I don't care if Tom Savage is playing quarterback.
Yeah, a lot of the times, that's definitely true. I was treated to living out here in this market. I guess they just were out of games to show, so they showed the Texans Rams game last week, and holy crap, Tom Savage can make an open receiver and still somehow hang him out to dry. So like that scares the crap out of me. But you do bring up the good point that, you know, it's just sort of like if you throw enough crap at the wall, something's going to stick. And like Hopkins is like the target volume king.
And he's 77.
Yeah, 7,700.
I mean, so like you're getting a number one wide receiver volume for under 8K and a lot under 8K. It's not like, oh, he's 79. 77. I mean, that doesn't... That's a crazy thing, but like look at that, man. That's bananas.
Especially like when you have AJ Green going against Denver in Denver with Andy Dalton as his quarterback, you know, like you definitely prefer Hopkins in that case.
100%.
And you know, Mike Evans coming back from suspension with Ryan Fitzpatrick as his quarterback, and he couldn't do anything last week. So, you know, that was a bit of a trap game. But, you know, it was like one of those games that was like so gross, maybe it would work, but no. That Jets Bucks game was just horrifying, and I don't expect things to get a whole lot better. So Evans at 78 doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me either. And you know, 900 more for Michael Thomas. We mentioned what's going on with the Saints,
No. So yeah, I can't even understand why that would be. But what an awful pricing that is. His ownership's going to be point something. Golden Tate 7600 always in play for me. Golden Tate's just very very steady, especially cash games. Even if you want to go down to Alex Smith and you want to put in Hopkins and Golden Tate, I think you can certainly get away from that. Get away with that. Excuse me. Crabtree against the Patriots, I think is in play. I expect that game to be a fairly decent shootout type scenario. I don't think New England's going to roll. I think New England's going to win because Oakland's not going to be able to stop them. But at the same time, it's Crabtree, not Cooper. I just can't do the Amari Cooper. Stephon Diggs is a tougher sell for me right now because I just don't think he's healthy. You know, I think he's playing through injury. I know it was a good week last week for him with the one touchdown against the Rams. I'm right on the fence there. The problem is it's only a $200 difference for Thielen, and Thielen's been so consistent, I think I'd have to go that route. Dez Bryant, run the other direction. Just run. Yeah. I mean, there's no reason to do this. I mean, I don't care what kind of Cowboy fan you are. Let's talk about Alshon Jeffrey dealing with the ankle injury. He's questionable, but he's going to play. Are you starting to feel the Alshon Jeffrey last 2 weeks? Things are trending. He's got three touchdowns in the last two games. This is another spot, too. You want to talk about pairing with Wentz. Is Jeffrey the guy you want, or is Ertz the guy you want this week?
Ertz is safer, obviously, but because of that wide receiver core is a little bit tougher to figure out. It's almost like the Patriots running backs situation among NFL wide receivers, but Jeffrey does seem to be kind of establishing himself as that number one guy. So like that Aguilar honeymoon from earlier in the year, it seems like it's now the Jeffrey show a bit more. I do think targeting that Dallas secondary is pretty smart for Sunday. I probably still lean Ertz, but I mean, at the same time, there are a ton of good tight end options, and for 500 less, you get Kelsey, and I'm sure we'll get into that. And
we're gonna get into that.
The streak, yeah.
The first guy to be 100% owned on FanDuel will be Travis Kelsey, but we'll save that for
just
next.
Just setting
week.
Records, pretty much. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think I'm gonna have a ton of Jeffrey, but I see the logic. I guess is where I land on that one.
Well, there's a lot of Jarvis Landry logic at 6,800. You know, the knock on Landry's always been the touchdown output, but that's changed this year. And I know this is the second Dolphin I'm talking about. Bad Joe. But you want to talk about
– this is wild.
But you know what? I mean, here we go again. I'm going to read the numbers. I don't like doing this, but numbers don't lie to a certain extent. 12.9, 16.2, 18.8, 5.8, 12.2, 12.7. Every week, Jarvis Landry's giving you 12 points. He's almost like Eric Decker a couple years ago when he had that great year with the Jets before everything came crushing down.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, those are like the perfect cash game lineup building wide receivers, and he's priced kind of the same. So Landry, to me, is this year's version of that Eric Decker from 2 years ago.
Yeah, and I mean, and also – and this probably extends a little bit more to like full PPR type of places, but like, yeah, he still is just catching like everything that's thrown his way, and his catch volume is awesome. And Tampa Bay's secondary, it's terrible. It's so, so bad. So Landry, yeah, I'd kind of like glossed over him because, you know, Robert Woods has played so well of late, but that's a really, really tough matchup up in Minnesota.
Tampa's not a tough matchup.
Tampa is not, and you're getting him for cheaper. So I do like that Landry call. What do you make of Sterling Shepard this week? It's
surprised.
Sterling Shepard and Marquise Lee, I think I'm very much on. Now, the questionable knee for Lee, along with the potential for weather working out, like, I'm not somebody who, like, go freaks out over the weather. You know, to me, wind is the thing that's more than anything. Snow, mm-hmm. I can deal with depending on how much it is. Rain, you could deal with better than people realize. It's wind that really gets into, you know, involved with, you know, the passing game. That's where things can struggle depending on the quarterback. I love Shepard this week. I mean, Shepard had a huge game last week, no touchdown, but if you expect them to be playing from behind, and I think we all do, I would expect somewhere around double-digit targets. I would expect somewhere around 100 yards. You know, Marquise Lee is another guy, if you want to hear about, here we go again, right? 10, 6, 12, 11, the targets the last 4 weeks for him. He's just getting so many targets, got two touchdowns the last two games. And as far as right now, when you're talking about, you know, he's on a limited basis practicing Thursday, so far, I think things are trending in the right direction for Lee. Right. I think I would lean Lee for the touchdown upside slightly over Sterling Shepard. I'm not sure. Where would you go on this one?
I'm still probably sticking with Shepard. Okay. I do like the Lee call. I think both of those guys at 6,500 can fit into your lineup just fine. Actually, my first run through of my lineup that has Kareem Hunt in it as well. I like having Shepard and Lee. Again, you got to just like double check. Friday afternoon, we should know for sure. More along the lines of where Lee's at, but it seems like he is trending in the right direction. So maybe this scares me off of Bortles. Maybe I'll move up to an Alex Smith instead at quarterback. But I think that both having Lee and Shepard is totally doable in your lineups this week.
Did you ever think in August that we'd be sitting here in November and you would say the phrase, "Yeah, I love Bortles, but I think I might have to pay up a little bit more for Alex Smith"? And then like, you're happy with either of those scenarios. I'm going to put you in a time machine. Man. I'm going to play that clip for you and you're going to punch me in the face.
you're just going to be like Doc from Back to the Future. I'm like, no,
Monty,
get out of here.
Monty, you're not going to believe what happened, Monty. I mean, really, look at us. Look at what we've become. How about this? You want to talk about something crazy? How about Jordy Nelson at $6,400?
He's like a peasant now.
He is. He's nothing. He's like dead to us. I mean, Davante Adams, you could make a case for there. But outside of that, you know, Ted Ginn's been, you know, if Michael Thomas is going to get guarded by Norman, then Ted Ginn is going to be loose again at 5,600. I keep saying it. He's the only guy. I know last week was dreadful, but it was just so run heavy. Up until then, he had been very consistent, Ginn. I think you can, in a tournament, make that case. Crowder's another guy, too. If Lattimore is on Doxson, then that frees Crowder up. I don't love Crowder, but another one of these cheap dart throws. Those are guys that are in play. I still like Lee and Shepard more. I think they have a lot higher floor than some of these other guys here. And after that, I just really, there's nobody else that I'm really getting excited about. I know Dontrell Inman had a good game, but if Darius Slay is on him, I think that's going to be a short-lived week for Dontrell Inman. I don't see that really being anything worth of note. Anybody else here, wide receiver, before we turn the page?
I think some people might be able to talk themselves into Corey Coleman because he's probably the best receiver on the Browns, and he's back active this week after
being out.
But not
this week against Jacksonville.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's what you got to point out. So. Wait to get Coleman back in your lineups next week. I think this week is a hard no for me.
All right, let's talk about how the fact over 2.5 million players have won cash prizes playing on FanDuel. To take advantage of our special offer for new users, sign up today at FanDuel.com/RotoWire, and you'll get a free 6-month RotoWire subscription plus free entry into the NFL Sunday Million, which offers more than 1 million in cash prizes with your first deposit on FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com/RotoWire. Void where prohibited. That's a good – somebody should – that should be a wrestling tagline, I think, for somebody.
The salesman.
Yeah. That's it. That's the character. The salesman. Oh, I'm going to get up to the ring. And it's like, I challenge you this Sunday. SummerSlam, you and me. I'm going to go door to door on your ass. Void where prohibited.
Yeah, and the whole crowd just goes ape when he says it. Yes.
Yeah, and they just start trying to void, 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 void. There you go. There's my gimmick. I'm going to start. I'm going to have to roll out the wrestling career. All right. Tight end, Rob Gronkowski, 8,200. Zach Ertz, AK. He's healthy again. No injury reports to speak of. Dallas, And you got Travis Kelce, whose pricing at 7,500 is just mind-blowing to me. I can't believe Kelsey's not at the top of this board. The Giants have given up a touchdown to a tight end in every game since 1974.
Correct.
I believe. I think that's the exact statistic. And here we are, John. Travis Kelce, will he be – okay, ownership on Travis Kelce in the Millionaire Maker. I'm going to put it at 64%.
Yeah.
Over-under.
You know, it might be slightly under, but like it you know, I could totally see it going over too. I'll go with the under, but yeah, he should be at least 65% owned because he's that good and this matchup is that soft. You know, it's really like the only rationale you can have for him not having a good game is basically you just like psyching yourself out at this point because
well, it's the price that I think it's impossible. You know, if he was 82, yeah. I'd say it's less, but he's the cheaper between Gronk and Ertz.
500 less than Ertz. That's crazy.
I don't know.
To me.
It's amazeballs, and somehow I keep trying to wrap my mind around it, and there's just no explanation except somebody got drunk behind the algorithm, and this is what happened.
Made Michael Thomas 8,600 instead. Yeah.
Now on the other side. Evan Ingram at 74, there's your contrarian play of the week. It's definitely Evan Ingram. Evan Ingram is absolutely – I mean, Kelce is going to be so highly owned. I'd stick right in that same game. The target volume for Ingram is going to be very high. He's been very he's well outperformed my expectations. He's got four straight games with a touchdown. I mean, what more does this guy have to do? He's just crushing it right now.
Yeah, he's an animal, and then you got to also consider just like the volume is ridiculous right now, especially compared to other tight ends. Like he's at 72 targets on the year, and he hasn't had less than seven targets since week six. So, you know, three straight weeks of 12, 10, or nine targets. I think we're going to see similar trend this week. So, yeah, Ingram at 74. Lock that in. Like if you're not doing Kelce, just go Ingram.
Now – it makes it an intriguing week to Gronk if you want a Gronk because with Hogan still out, there is opportunity here, I think, against Oakland where Gronk could have a big game. He had kind of a quiet one, you know, 4 for 7 for 74, no touchdown. You know, Gronk's only had 2 20-point games this season. So I think this is definitely a Gronk week. And it's funny because everybody and their mother's going to be on Kelce, almost to the point where, like, I want to have a Kelce lineup. But I think the majority of my lineups are not going to have Kelce in it because I think that could be such a differentiator if he doesn't have a – like, let's say he just has a regular – like, a decent game. Let's say he just catches three balls, one of them's a touchdown, and it's good, right?
Sure.
But Ingram or Ertz go off, or even Gronk goes off. There's your separator.
Yeah, that's right, because, yeah, all those people will be trapped in just, like, a mediocre Travis Kelce day.
Right. And I keep – it's hard because he's 7,500. So even a mediocre Travis Kelce day is okay.
Sure.
You know, even a two, you know, if he has, I'm trying to look at one of the game logs here where he had just, I mean, hell, even last week was slightly better than mediocre, but you know, there's been games here where he was 5 for 7 for 40 yards. You know, I mean, he's going to get a touchdown against the Giants. It's going to happen, you know? So I think you should have one Kelce lineup, but in tournaments, I think you might want to shy away from it. I think cash games, you stay with Kelce because everyone's going to ride or die with him. And if he does have a huge game, forget it. Then you're really behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
But it's in tournaments, I think, where Kelsey's the guy you fade this week without a doubt. Is there anybody else here at the tight end that you want to make any sort of case for? The Rudolphs, the Wittens, the Brates, anybody else here?
You know, I think that this week, with the way that especially the way that receiver kind of sets up where you can get away with just going without any sort of receiver at like 8,000. I think you should just stick with the more expensive tight ends. That seems to make a fair bit more sense to me. I guess if you go way down the board, a guy like CJ Fedorowicz, who I like his talent a fair bit. And he's a tight end in Houston and he's going against a Cardinals defense that I don't think is all that good. So I think maybe he's kind of like a dart throw option. I think Vernon Davis at 5,200. If Jordan Reed is still out, then maybe that's something you consider. But otherwise, try to go expensive with your tight end.
All right, let's go over and talk about the defenses of the week. Clearly, Jacksonville 5,600. You know, that's going to be chalky. Now, I they did not perform to my expectation last week. I clearly lost that one. I was getting a little, you know, highfalutin last week, and it certainly, I went down in flames on that one. But looking at the rest of these high defenses, Kansas City is 5,100 against the Giants, which I hate that pricing. I absolutely hate it. The Denver Broncos, the fact that they're 48 is appalling. Really, the high-priced defenses this week, no ma'am. I don't want them. I don't want anything to do with them. I want to go all the way down to where I'm looking for some turnovers, and I'm looking for turnovers in New Orleans. And I'm looking at Kirk Cousins to throw some picks. I'm looking for Samaje Perine to fumble the ball. And 4,500, to me, there's your turnover play of the week. I think New England and New Orleans, both at 45, are very solid, you know, lower but not bottom rung defenses that could get you some turnovers this week.
That's really, really good calls as far as turnover upside goes. I think the Dolphins, I would want to use them just because Tampa Bay's offense, and it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, so he's going to throw some picks. But the way that the Dolphins have just been just publicly humiliated the last few weeks against offenses that I don't think are all that great, I don't think you can trust them even at home. So no Dolphins for me. I think the Saints and the Patriots make sense. I think 4,700 for the Ravens, they're a turnover machine as well. And going against Brett Hundley, if they even think about letting him throw the ball more than 4 yards down the field, then I think there's a pick in play for sure. And then they got a banged up running back core. If they give a ton of carries to Jamal Williams, a rookie, I could see some fumbles in play there as well.
All right, let's get to the bonus question of the week. Last week was who is going to score more points at Jacksonville defense or Big Ben. Big Ben clearly did, although you had to be panicking in that first drive where he threw a pick, and you're like, oh, dear God, See, what have I done?
Road Ben is so real, and it's so bad.
Oh, I don't know what's worse, man, road rash or road Ben, but they're equally appalling. So now John McKechnie has evened up the bonuses for the year. 6-6-1 right now. That's your question. So I've got the one question this week. I already know which way you're going, and I think I know which way I'm going, and that's why I picked it. Who scores the most of these two running backs in FanDuel points this week? We've got one corner, Jay Ajayi, and the other corner, LeSean McCoy. I'm taking LeSean McCoy. I'm telling you, it's time to dial it up with Mr. Peterman. Elaine. You tell me, are you taking Ajayi?
You know, as much as that makes sense, you know, I'll go Ajayi against a Sean Lee-less Dallas defense. I'll do it.
Nice. So McCoy, Ajayi, head-to-head points. Who wins? Well, you'll have to tune in next week to find out.
Bloodbath.
It's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be void where prohibited. You can follow him on Twitter at Johnny McKex. You can follow me at Joe Pizzapia 17. For everybody here at RotoWire, have a great weekend of Daily Fantasy.